Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show, folks. My name's Tony. Have a very interesting show for you today, which I hope you will enjoy. And don't forget to check out our website, aminutetomidnight.com. I want to offer a warm welcome to Ralph Streen, first time on the A Minute to Midnight show. And Ralph, I believe you're in the Caribbean at the moment, which is not where you actually live, but it's great to be chatting to you today.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you for the invite. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and so where do you normally live? In Florida, I believe.
Yeah, that's normally where I live.
But you're on the road because you're obviously extremely busy. And for the people that don't know who you are, maybe you can give a little bit of a background. I want to say first off that your wife, Rachel, sent me video, DVD, also as Blu-ray, though I don't have a Blu-ray player, but the DVD, Genesis Paradise Lost. And I have to say, I was extremely impressed with the video. So that's why kind of got you on today.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was it's amazing to think that it was actually put in theaters nationwide, being a small little independent film. And, you know, only God can do something like that. It took me 7 years total. I mean, a couple of years in pre-production and 5 years of just slaving away in front of a computer, in front of a lot of computers, actually, to make it. And for those of you listening who don't know, it's a film, a documentary, which don't let that fool you, because a documentary might sound a little bit boring to people, but wait till you see this one, because it's a documentary that sets out to prove that the Bible is in fact true, that God created the universe in 6 literal days, and that evolution is completely debunked by any form of legitimate science. And mixed in with the documentary are also a bunch of amazing segments where we go all the way back to the beginning, the creation, the Garden of Eden. We show creation events unfolding day by day by day. It's won 7 awards. It's been nominated for 5 more. It was the first 3D, as in, you know, 3D like the when you put the glasses on. It was the first 3D Christian film ever made and released in theaters. And hopefully, I mean, we're praying all the time that we have plenty of testimony coming in that it'll continue to spread out and more people will see it. And hopefully it'll have a big impact on the lost.
Well, it is excellent. And yeah, the animation and, you know, the creation of the dinosaurs and all of that in animation, it's absolutely stunning. You know, my hat's off to you for it. That's for sure.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's God, you know, because I think, you know, when people hear my background, I worked for Disney, Lockheed Martin, EA Sports, the video game company. And they think that, you must have learned how to do animation there. You must have worked for Disney Pictures. And, you know, then you got saved and you're doing this now. But the truth is, God really just lays the tracks right out in front of the train as it's moving along. You know, I'm constantly learning new things, and new programs always seem to be coming out right as I need them. You know, technology's being developed right as I need to make use of that sort of a feature. And God's just given me this unique ability to just, you know, to create these images. And so one day I just thought, you know, instead of making static images and static artwork, you know, what if I made, you know, actual videos out of this? And then that turned into, what if I made films? And then when I got saved, it was, well, man, it's obvious what I should be doing. I should be making Christian films. And so that's where I figured I could make the best use of this particular niche talent.
Well, it's absolutely stunning, you know. You've done an incredible job. But I totally know what you're talking about new technology coming along all the time. And the thing is, it takes time to learn how to use the new technology and new programs.
Yeah.
You know, I have an audio background and I'm now pretty much out of touch. I'm still, you know, probably 3 or 4 years behind the times in terms of audio equipment and everything. But I know the whole kind of process. of what, you know, it is to learn different software and all of that sort of stuff. And it's that in itself takes a lot of time. And then to be able to put it together with all the other different programs to create something is pretty stunning what you did anyway.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I too feel your pain with the equipment side of things. You know, I booted up one of the computers the other day and saw the BIOS screen come up and say 2011 or something like that. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, this thing's 8 years old now. I've lost track of how old this equipment is.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm actually recording this on a 2008 Mac Pro, so it's 11 years old. And I'm thinking,
oh,
man,
yeah?
It's...
Well, I've got – no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, and it struggles when I'm doing video, that's for sure. But
oh, you poor fella.
Yeah, oh, well, video is secondary to me, though. Audio is the main thing that I've sort of done my time in. So now, in terms of the subject matter of the film, the whole evolution thing, how did that come about that you got into making a film on that very topic?
Well, I was at a I'd been saved for a few years already, and you know, like most Christians, I just took it completely by faith. I think you could categorize me as a theistic evolutionist, meaning that I believed in God, but I was okay if God used evolution to, you know, accomplish his goals. And it wasn't until I was at this Christian get-together party thing, my friend Titus's home, when he gave me a DVD. And he's such a great brother, because brother in Christ, because it doesn't matter to him that it's his own party that he's throwing and that people are wanting to talk to him and pulling him in different directions. He takes the time to take me to the living room to put the DVD in the player and to show me some creation materials. I think it had come up through the conversation we were having. And right there in the middle of this party, I'm just sitting there in his living room watching this stuff, just devouring it, just thinking like, what? I've never heard this before. I mean, in all my years of you know, I mean, not through middle school, not through high school, not through, you know, college, I had never once heard the creation argument. And once I heard it and the way it was presented, my mind was blown and my worldview was shattered almost overnight. I started going online and just voraciously consuming the information, you know, really fascinated, because it's like, is this true? I mean, it sounds true. And as soon as maybe only about a week into it, my mind was completely made up. Like, oh my goodness, did this. The more I looked into it, the more the science backed the Bible rather than evolution. And not only the science, the evidence too, that's right in front of our faces. And you almost feel foolish for not having believed the Bible's account in the first place. For example, when you look at every single continent, you have massive flood features on every single one, right? Like in here in America, we have the Grand Canyon. Yep. And these are features that you cannot explain, right, by little local small occurrences. There's no way to explain these features other than a massive, significant worldwide flood, right? And the funny thing is, as a side note, over the past 5 years, I've actually been noticing places like Smithsonian and Discovery and the NOVA on the internet. A lot of their videos, if you start watching them now, when they talk about geology, they've been slowly shifting to this idea that maybe there was a giant flood, but they'll never call it that. Because, of course, if they call it that, then they're acknowledging that, you know, that Bible event that you've always heard about your whole life. Yeah, maybe that could be true. And we don't want that. So they've come up with all sorts of wacky ways of getting around it. But, you know, I'm realizing when I'm looking at the evidence that, wow, the evidence is just everywhere, absolutely everywhere. Here scientists are scoffing at the fact that the Bible says that there was a worldwide flood sitting on a planet that's arguably 70 to 80% nothing but water, right? The only one that we've even found in the entire universe, right? And they're claiming that this planet couldn't have been flooded, right? But planets like Mars absolutely were flooded because, hey, look, they've got ice caps after all. It's just amazing the level of willful deceit and willful ignorance that a lot of mainstream science has to go to in order to try to cover up these amazing truths that we've had for thousands of years in the Word of God.
I think the technique they seem to use is the old shout everyone else down technique, you know, because if you don't believe in our way of, you know, believing, then they just shout you down and ridicule it, and they don't actually examine the real questions. Yeah, because the evidence that you guys put forward, the experts and so on in the video that you've made, well, I already believed it anyway. I've never believed in evolution for, you know, many, many years. To me, it makes absolutely no sense. But the way you guys present it, you know, all of you, it just makes the whole theory of evolution look preposterous, really, which I've always thought it was anyway. But you just added so much evidence and, you know, fuel to that.
And, you know, see, I'm where you are now. And I'm to that point now where I forget sometimes. And I'll look at my atheistic friends from, you know, high school. I'll look at people who are debating me or who are, you know, trashing the movie or whatnot online. And I'll think to myself, how can you be so ignorant? How can you believe such nonsense, like nothing has somehow miraculously made everything? And, you know, and then I have to remind myself, Ralph, remember, man, you were there once, right? Like you didn't go so far as they do as to deny that there's a God, but you believe that that God could have used evolution. And it's amazing to be able to go through that journey, not to discredit, of course, your situation, but for me personally, going through that journey is amazing because it reminds me of how easy it is to be deceived. And, you know, I've heard it quoted. I don't know if he actually said it or not, but I think it's something to the effect of Hitler saying that if you tell a lie often enough and long enough, people will believe it. You know, it really is true. You know, like it's amazing that, you know, you can convince the world right now. It seems like every country has legalized abortion, and it blows my mind that you can get 50% of the people in our nation to agree that going into a woman's womb and dismembering the baby and pulling it out and throwing it in a bio trash bag is a good thing, not just acceptable. Not just a necessity in certain situations, but it's a good thing, right? And the same with evolution. You know, how have we been able to, have we allowed ourselves to become so deceived that we would believe lies that are on the face of it? If you weren't exposed to that, like you, if you weren't really into that in the first place, you look at it and you think it's completely preposterous because it is.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I think probably a lot of them don't think back to the logical beginnings. They just think evolution. They think millions of years or whatever, and then they listen to the arguments for how something supposedly evolved into something else. But they don't go right back to the very, very beginning of how can you get all of this out of nothing, and what was the mechanism that caused the nothing to suddenly change into, you know, it absolutely makes no sense. It's ridiculous.
And, you know, to add to that, what's funny is that a lot of them, they really hate people like us who you and I, we don't, you know, we're not scientists. We don't have, at least I don't have a PhD. Neither. And they can't stand it when we talk in layman's terms like this, you know, like, well, how can nothing create something? You know, how can an organism, you know, self-guide itself? And they'll say, oh, you fools. If you would just, you know, study up and brush up on the science, you would realize it. But you guys know. Look, I love the fact that we're boiling it down to be this simple right now. I mean, like, if you want the details of the science, go watch the movie, right?
Yeah.
Go watch.
Yeah, because you guys cover it.
Yeah, but right now in this conversation, I find this to be just as critical, because with something like this, you do need to boil this down. You do need to look at it at a 10,000 foot view. For example, one of the things that bothered me, I admittedly, I went along with it because that's all I'd ever been taught. But one of the things that bothered me in the fifth or sixth grade, I can't remember, it was a long time ago, but I was young and I distinctly remember sitting in class. I remember the science teacher teaching us some of these evolutionary concepts for the first time. And I was thinking all the way back then with my, you know, childhood mind, I thought to myself, well, this doesn't make sense. So how do you have an organism that in a single generation can eat and develop a stomach and reproduce? And I know that the atheists listening to this will be like, oh, you idiot. You know, if you just go look, we explain how all the – oh, no, hold on. That's not my point. My point is that on the surface, it's ridiculous. Now, the science, if you really get into the science will crush evolution. But leave that aside. This is the way we should be talking about it. And frankly, I'm going to say it, mocking it and laughing about it, because it really is crazy. You would have to have instances. I'm not saying every single one. But if you look at the wide array of different organisms, different creatures, different species that we have, okay, trillions of them all, we haven't even discovered 70% of what's in the ocean, by the way, right? There's so much stuff out there, it's ridiculous. And it's so – the variety ranges so radically that you're going to have many, many, many countless scenarios where in one generation a creature has to develop an entire capability. And not only does it have to create that entire capability, it has to be able to reproduce that into the next generation, right? And the next generation has to pick up where that one left off, and it has to do it in many instances, sexually speaking, right? It has to mate, procreate with another creature.
So you need two of them. You need two of them.
You need two. It's so and they can't stand when we boil it down. And why can't they stand it? It's not here's the challenge to them. It's not really because they have the science. You and I know they don't have the science to back it up. Yeah. But what it really is that they can't – they're throwing up a smoke screen and doing whatever they can because they hate the fact that we're boiling it down to show people that on its face it's so stupid that you don't have to go beyond its face. You don't have to go digging down. I don't want to go learn your nonsense. I did go learn your nonsense. I don't want to anymore. You know, then I want to study, you know, I don't know, how to clean out a sewage system, you know, through a manhole. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like who cares? Like, I mean, God bless people who do that, but I don't need to go learn that. Right. So evolution is ridiculous. And that's one of the things. I mean, you know, I've been encountering a lot, especially since I had the movie released, is that, you know, I mean, they've targeted us. They've, you know, they've gone onto IMDb, places like that, where they have bombed our movie with terrible reviews. And, you know, like you said, they're trying to shout us down. Yeah. You know, they're trying to silence us. And that's much of what the movie even covers, too, is that look at science throughout history. Look at some of the massive discoveries and major game changers. Oftentimes, they were never appreciated in their own generation. Oftentimes, they had to be dead before people started realizing their contribution to science, right? And we're very much experiencing that now, where I was watching, I think it was Nova, like I said earlier, and I can't remember what it was they were talking about. It happens so often now it all blurs together for me, but they were talking about something. I want to say, oh, I remember what it was, Neanderthals. And they were doing this whole special on Neanderthal DNA. And they were going into how, look, Neanderthals, we hate to say it, but the more we've been looking into it, they could procreate, you know, with with other, I don't know what the term was they used, practically could have said species, for crying out loud, of human beings, and they could have offspring. And yeah. And they said in the show, they said something to the effect of, you know, this is breaking science. We've never heard this before. Blah, blah, blah. Creationists have been saying this for at least 50 years.
Yeah.
Right. And that's one example of many that I've seen where they have the audacity to completely pretend like the creationist scientific community does not even exist. And that when they make discoveries that back up our points, they just discovered it themselves, you know? And like Dr. Jackson says in the movie, you guys really should go watch it. You're going to love it. He says in the movie that anytime they find these missing link fossils, you give it long enough, and they will eventually have to be reclassified as human, as Homo sapien, right? They always have to reclassify them, because at first when they make the discovery, they slap on a bunch of nonsense because they're trying to bolster their silly ideas. And then as people, you know, evaluate the discovery and conduct experiments on the discovery and whatnot, then they start realizing that something's not adding up here. And then they, you know, over the years have to basically reclassify and reevaluate what it is that they're really looking at. An example would be like the T-Rex bone. We covered it a little bit in the movie, but I wish I had time to go more in depth with this one. Many people by now have learned that they're finding soft tissue and fossilized bone. Now, they do, admittedly, they do, and in not all cases, but in most cases that I've read, they do have to soften the tissue up chemically. But it's easily done. It's easily done. And it's proof that, there's no possible way that these bones could be millions and millions or hundreds of millions of years old. There's just no way, right? This stuff would fossilize and petrify and become so hardened, just like a rock practically, that you're just not going to get soft tissue like that. And so they're discovering that. And instead of reevaluating and saying, wow, maybe we're wrong with our time frame, maybe we're not talking about millions of years, I mean, dare I go so far as to say maybe they should even think, wow, you know, that Bible book says that the world's only thousands of years old, and gosh, this evidence sure fits that. This evidence seems like it can't be more than hundreds or thousands of years old, you know. But no, they can't do that. Well, they can't do that. Why? Because they're socially restricted. They don't want to out of embarrassment.
They don't want to be out of embarrassment. They also don't want to, because it means then they are accountable to a God, which they don't want to believe in. But
right.
I had a classic example of that with a family member. This was going back in the early 80s, actually. And I had an excellent book, Debunking Evolution, then on a whole lot of different fronts. And I lent it to this particular person. And he was a very, very intelligent, almost genius material in the medical field. He read the book and his reaction was anger. It was instead of debunking the book, it was like, well, I don't want to believe in a God that sends people to hell and so on and so on. So he couldn't really argue with what was in the book. I wish I still had the book, actually. But anyway, it was a classic example of somebody that didn't want to believe in God, so they chose to reject, you know, the whole creationism thing. But the other thing you mentioned, T-Rex, now that's the thing that interests me, is the fact that how would you get petroglyphs with, you know, cave pictures with dinosaurs and people hunting dinosaurs if dinosaurs had died out and they discovered fossils of these giant dinosaurs until the last 100-something years, and these petroglyphs are thousands of years old, and they have a person hunting a dinosaur. And you know, the late Doc Marquis, who I interviewed a few times, he died, you know, in the last couple of years, unfortunately, but he discovered, you know, a bunch of them, and he was going to be looking for more, but then, of course, he passed away. But the fact was, there's these cave drawings of people with dinosaurs. So how do the evolutionists explain that one?
Yeah, and that's another great thing about the movie. That's one of the fun things that we point out there, that a lot of Christians aren't connecting. They're not connecting that dinosaurs used to be called dragons. Right?
Yep.
It's not just a fairy tale. We think that dragons are synonymous with fairy tales and, you know, old stories, and, you know, you got the knight who's got to go hunt them down, but in reality, that's the term that they used to call these giant, you know, creatures that they would unearth. And then, like you're pointing out, in some cases, they even fought. And, you know, there is plenty of historical evidence to suggest that these encounters that they're having, not just the Petroglyphs, but, you know, like you've also got documentation of, you know, actual occurrences where they were fighting and killing and destroying these dragon creatures. And not only that, but the Bible, you know, talks about the behemoth and the Leviathan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, people like to say, oh, well, that could be an elephant. Oh, okay. Well, it has a tail that's the size of a cedar tree,
yeah.
You know, right? So it's not an elephant. It's clearly, you know, I mean, the Bible is clearly describing it as the giant,
yep.
The most largest huge creature that God created, right?
Yeah.
So clearly man and dinosaurs belonged or were created together. And there's plenty of evidence to show that. And, you know, another thing that I just thought of thinking about the bones again is the carbon dating, too. Another thing that the movie points out, it's just impossible. OK, impossible to explain how you still have atoms remaining in the bones of these, you know, the remains that they're finding. You know, the half-life, I think, you know, maximum, I think, puts you back at somewhere like around 5,700 years, right? So here you have a lack of die-out, right? That the equilibrium hasn't occurred yet, and yet we're finding not one or two or three atoms, we're finding, you know, millions of them, right? And it's like, it's scientifically impossible. And so you go back to the atheistic community and you say, well, how do you explain this? And they don't want to talk about it. It's much like you said with the, I think you said the guy in the medical field who rejected it, right? The Bible told us what was going to happen. The Bible told us that they will be willfully ignorant. Right. When Peter was talking about people in the last days and the end times, and he even takes it a step further. You know, if you look at a few different places in Scripture, you get this picture painted of end times people who are not only willfully ignorant and allowing themselves to be deceived, but it also says that they worship beasts and four-footed things. Right. They worship animals.
Yeah.
And I find that one particularly fascinating, because what is evolution if it's not replacing God with this false god of magical creation over time that creates all these different species, these different beasts? So here we are, no different today than the pagans of thousands of years ago, who would erect these statues and these idols of, you know, animal creatures, and now here we are doing the same thing. We're worshiping this false god of evolution that claims that it itself magically creates all these different species. And if I can say one more thing here on that note, what I was blown away with when I was making the movie, this is something that I'd never heard before, and it had occurred to me completely out of nowhere when I was reading Genesis one day. And that is that God said right there in chapter one, right there on, you know, the first, or depending on how big your Bible is, first or second page of Genesis, God says that the trees will bring forth after their own kind. The animals will bring forth after their own kind. And I remembered when I had first read the Bible back when I was a teenager, not really believing it, more just interested in it. When I had first read it, I remembered thinking to myself, you know, well, why would God say after their kind, you know, after every sentence, why is he drilling this into people's heads after their kind? And who cares? This is what I frankly thought at the time. Who cares, God? Who cares? Why do you keep telling us this? I don't care that the trees bring forth after the kind. Man brings forth after his kind. And it hit me one day after I was saved, making the movie, reading it. Oh, my goodness. God just shut down evolution in the first chapter of the Bible.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of years ago, because he predicted, he knew it was coming. And so right there in the end, here we are in the end, right there at the beginning, he cut it off at the pass.
Yeah.
And he said, species will not, God could not spell it out more clear for you people. Species will not create other species, which is the biblical term is kind. So kind is species, right?
Yeah.
So one kind only brings forth after its own kind and does not bring forth other kinds. And it just, like I said, hit me like a ton of bricks. I was just blown away how people can look at the Bible and not realize what a prophetic masterpiece it is. I don't know.
Totally agree. So for people that haven't actually seen this movie, where can they get a hold of it? And, you know, what's your website?
So the website is genesismovie.com, but you don't even have to go there. You can get it on pretty much any of your favorite venues. So you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on iTunes and a host of other places. I think right now Christian Cinema has it. It's number one on there. So you can rent it from these places. You can buy it. And if you want the Blu-ray or the DVDs, you can order those specifically at genesismovie.com. And like I said, Amazon, iTunes, that's where you can stream it online.
So the movie's called Genesis Paradise Lost for people that may have missed that. So, okay, now, Ralph, what are you working on now? We've talked about this. You know, obviously your life hasn't stopped. You're still busy. So what are you doing?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Yeah, so, you know, after I made the movie, you know, it was a documentary and it was, you know, it was a lot of work, but it was, you know, very incredibly rewarding and I really enjoyed it. But, you know, it is still a documentary and, you know, I wanted to be able to this time do something different, do something that might be more appealing to the youth. Instead of going the documentary route, why not go and mix it into like a, you know, a teaching tool slash story? And so I came up with this, some might think is a crazy idea, but I came up with this idea. What if I created a series, an online series, where you could take a time traveling machine and you could actually time travel back to different events in biblical history? And so what I did was I went back to one of the standout speakers of the film, Genesis Paradise Lost. His name is Dr. Charles Jackson. And when you see the film, you'll know what I mean.
He's great.
Yeah, you'll know who I'm referring to. He is such a character. Yeah. We love him to death. And so I approached him and I said, hey, what do you think about this this crazy idea? And he was all on board. And so I thought, okay, what I'll do is he's a real PhD scientist. In fact, he's even a genius. He's a member of Mensa. And I said, why don't you star in it? And I'll write the whole thing basically around us being able to teach people biblical truths while going back to different points in history. And in the first episode that I'm making right now, the pilot episode, he goes back to the flood. Which again is one of my favorite evidences that the Bible is true because of just how massively expansive the proof is. So I gave him a robot sidekick and wrote this entire hour-long episode one, basically around them going back to the flood. And I actually, the timing of this is perfect because I just released the teaser trailer just this last week, so people can actually go and check out the teaser. It's about a minute and a half long, and get a good, pretty good idea of what's in store.
And is that on the Genesis Movie website?
Well, it's going to be in another week or two, but where they can go right now to see that is quantumshow.com. So that's really that's actually the name of the show. It's called Quantum, and it's quantumshow.com. And you can check out the trailer there. I think you have to scroll to the bottom and you'll see the little option that says teaser trailer, and then click on that, and that should take you to Vimeo. You can also find it on YouTube by just typing in Quantum teaser trailer. I think I have it in some other locations too, but I think that ought to get them started.
Yeah, and now these things obviously take a lot of money. There's a lot of time involved in things. How are you financing this?
That's the most difficult thing about all of this. You've seen the quality of the movie.
Yeah.
And we're talking, everything I'm doing, we're trying to make it Hollywood level. We're trying to make this stuff absolute highest quality. Yeah. And we don't have a Hollywood budget. Really, we don't have any kind of budget because we're 100% crowdfunded. The movie Genesis Paradise Lost was mostly crowdfunded. This time with Quantum, it's 100% crowdfunded. If you go to quantumshow.com, you'll actually find a link on there where you can support us through Patreon, or you can go directly to the crowdfunding website on Indiegogo where you can donate to help us make the first pilot season. Please, definitely, if God puts it on your heart, do that, because we're trying to stretch the budget out as far as we can and do so much with so little. And as you'll hear in the little teaser trailer that I put together, the average TV show these days costs about $3 million. And I know that when people hear that, they're like, there's no way, that's just crazy. No, I'm actually serious. The average TV show costs $3 million. And that doesn't include the startup costs of, developing the world and the pre-production. So here we are. We've only raised about $170,000, $180,000 to make an hour-long pilot episode, and which also has a half-hour after show. So collectively, in total, it's going to be about an hour and a half long for this first episode. And then, of course, the hope is that if this takes off, maybe it'll start paying for itself, and the money that comes in from each episode can help us make the next episode, and maybe we can kick off the ministry that way.
Yeah, and because what you do is such high quality, which is obviously evidenced by the Genesis Paradise Lost movie, it is extremely high quality. It's not budget. You'd never think it was done on a budget. And so people should support it because there's so much crap out there to be, sorry for the French, but basically that's indoctrinating people with everything else that's anti-God and
that's
completely
right.
Debunkable rubbish, most of it. People are being fed.
Even the Hollywood movies have been coming out recently that are supposed biblical epics, even those are trash.
Yeah.
Just trash.
Yep.
I mean, they're so biblically inaccurate that sometimes they even go to the degree of shaming us Christians. I mean, like, look at Noah, for example. What an awful movie that was. Russell Crowe, the way he portrayed Noah. Even a Christian won't like Noah after you watch that movie.
Look, to be honest, I think it's a Luciferian-driven agenda. It's no accident that there's that kind of really bad portrayal of Christianity in the Bible in movies that are supposedly Christian, because that's
Amen.
Part of the Luciferian plan to, I don't want to go into it too much here, but for the end times and to marginalize anything that's truly Christian and
that's
biblical.
Right.
So, Ralph, what would you else like to get across to people before we close up here? What message would you like to get to them?
I believe that we're in the end times. Whether you're pre-trib or post-trib, I think it's coming soon.
Yeah.
I would bet anything on it that it's going to happen within the next half century, and I think that it could likely happen within the next 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
Look at how fast the world is spiraling out of control. Look at what's happening in our politics. I mean, here in America, you know, you've got people debating things that just 10 years ago nobody thought would ever be in question.
Totally.
How can you give little boys and girls drugs to block their development stages, right? How are we debating, you know, some of the absurd things that are going on? And that's because there is, like you said, a Luciferian agenda. There is a satanic wool that's been pulled over the world's eyes. It's the only way you can make sense of it. I mean, you can't make sense of the absolute lunacy any other way other than there is spiritual darkness that is blinding people. And I say this because that means that you, the listener, you don't have much time. Paul told us to redeem the time that we have. And you and I aren't promised tomorrow. We could die tomorrow in a car accident, right? Well, what would we have done with our lives, right? What, I mean, I used to make six figures. I worked for Disney, and I quit Disney one day because I'd gotten saved, and I thought, I just can't waste my life anymore. And now don't get me wrong, you know, Paul made tents, so I'm not saying having your job is wrong, but what are you doing? What are you doing with the resources that that job provides, right? Are you helping other brothers and sisters? What are you doing yourself? You know, it's said that if you're not shooting the gun, then carry the bullets, right? You know, we're a body, and we need to actively participate in what has got to be the beginning of the craziest time in human history, in biblical history. I mean, the Bible says that in the end times, Jesus says it's going to be a time like the world has never seen before, right? In terms of the hostility towards Christians, in terms of the persecution.
Yeah.
We're on the precipice, right? We're on the brink of all this happening. And so I say to anyone listening, get involved, get active, help us. And if you're not into what we're doing, you know, or if you're not into what A Minute to Midnight's doing, then find your own way of serving Christ. But definitely redeem that time. You know, you're not promised anything. And when more in human history has the world needed to hear the truth, needed to hear the gospel, needed the wisdom of what the Bible teaches than now? So that would be my closing message.
Awesome. And that's a great message. And I've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you today, Ralph. And you've got to keep us updated with what's going on, you know, with what you're doing.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, that'd be
please invite me on some more.
Yeah, anytime. Just keep us updated.
I definitely will. All right. Well, thank you, brother. God bless you, and God bless all the listeners. And I can't wait till next time.
Thank you, and God bless you too. Folks, don't forget to hit the like button for this video. We much appreciate that. Of course, you can see it on YouTube, on our website, aminutetomidnight.com, and also just an audio version of it on iTunes as well. And I notice YouTube's been unsubscribing people from our channel still, so check that you're still subscribed. And if you aren't, please hit the subscribe button on YouTube, and you may want to also subscribe to our iTunes channel. And A Minute to Midnight's run by donations, 100%. Really appreciate it when people help support A Minute to Midnight through donations, because honestly, couldn't do it without your help. So thank you to the people that do help through donating. And also there's some new articles on our website as well. So you can donate, you can read articles, and you can see videos on our website, aminutetomidnight.com. And the music used in the shows I've written, played, and recorded. And if you want to download it, you can find a tab on our website, A Minute to Midnight Free Music, and you can download it for free. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. We should hopefully be back in a few days' time with another episode of the A Minute to Midnight show. God bless. Have a great week. And this is Tony saying goodbye till next time.